Ever feel like you're reading a mystery novel, but instead of detectives, it's scientists, and the case is a global pandemic?
I like that.
Well, that's what today's deep dive feels like.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going with this.
We're going inside the Robert Koch Institute, Germany's CDC, during those first few months of 2020. We've got their internal documents, meeting minutes, strategy memos, you name it. It's like we're right there with them as this new virus emerges.
It's really remarkable the level of detail we have access to.
So let's get right into it. January 2020, news starts trickling out about this strange new virus over in Wuhan, China.
Right, a novel coronavirus, they were calling it.
And Germany, along with the rest of the world, is watching this unfold. But at that point, it still feels like a distant threat, right?
Well, I think cautious observation might be a better way to put it.
Okay, so what are the immediate concerns for the RKI? What's on their radar?
Well, at that point, it's all about containment. They're focused on travelers coming in from Wuhan, making sure they can develop reliable PCR tests, and of course, coordinating with international organizations, the WHO.
So a lot of moving parts already.
Yeah, absolutely. Big question that emerges early on, do we screen people at airports? How do you even begin to communicate that level of risk to the public without creating widespread panic?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You can almost hear the clock ticking as they try to gather information.
Exactly. And then boom, the first confirmed COVID-19 cases appear in Germany.
In the country.
Yeah, primarily among citizens who had recently returned from Wuhan. You can practically feel the atmosphere change when you read the meeting minutes from that time.
Oh, wow. So it's officially on their doorstep. What happens next?
Well, things start to move really quickly. Authorities are grappling with quarantine protocols, contact tracing becomes crucial. And amidst all of this, the virus gets its official name.
The one that would become all too familiar.
Yeah, SARS-CoV-2.
Even just hearing that name now brings back so many memories. So at this point, how is the RKI responding?
It's a whirlwind of activity inside the RKI. You see a real sense of urgency, especially when Germany reports its first death from COVID-19 in late February.
A stark reminder that this is no longer a distant threat. We're talking about lives lost.
Absolutely. And this is happening as the situation is escalating rapidly internationally. The focus starts to shift. Instead of trying to contain the virus completely, they have to start preparing for the very real possibility of a global pandemic.
The tension must have been palpable.
Oh, you can practically feel it in the documents. They're already discussing potential shortages of masks, medical supplies, even at this early stage. And then the World Health Organization makes it official.
COVID-19 is declared a pandemic. I still remember where I was when I heard that news. How did the Robert Koch Institute respond?
Immediately, they classify the risk to the German population as high, which is significant. Schools and businesses begin to close, large gatherings are banned. This is when those initial lockdown measures start falling into place.
And life as we knew it, at least for a while, was about to change.
Yes. And inside the RKI, the conversation starts shifting to expanding testing capacity and the potential for developing contact tracing apps. They start publishing daily situation reports, urging people to practice social distancing and hygiene measures. The race against the virus was on.
It's incredible to look back at those early days, knowing what we know now. Are there any details from the documents that stand out as particularly surprising or revealing?
You know, there are a few things. It's fascinating to see them debating the effectiveness of airport entry screening very early on. Something we now know wasn't as effective as they initially thought.
So even at the time, there were doubts about whether that measure would be enough.
Exactly. And there was a scramble to understand the role of asymptomatic carriers in spreading the virus, which makes sense. This was uncharted territory.
Right, a brand new virus.
They were trying to understand its every move, all while trying to manage the public's fear and confusion.
One of the things that I found really interesting in these documents was the RKI's concern over publicly listing labs that could process COVID-19 tests. Seems counterintuitive,
It
right?
does, yeah.
Why wouldn't they want to make that information as widely available as possible?
Well, their thinking at the time was that they were worried about creating bottlenecks.
I see. So if only certain labs are listed.
People might flock to those specific locations, which could overwhelm them and make it even harder to get tested. They opted for a more decentralized approach, relying on major lab suppliers to get the information out to doctors and clinics.
It's a reminder that sometimes the most obvious solutions aren't always the best, especially in a crisis that's changing so rapidly.
Exactly, adaptability was key.
So we've got a pandemic on our hands, lockdowns are being implemented. What's the general mood like inside the Robert Koch Institute at this point?
controlled chaos. I think that's probably the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
There's a real sense of urgency in these documents, but also a determination to stay ahead of the curve. They wanted to base their decisions on the best available evidence, which was constantly evolving. It's a fascinating glimpse into the inner workings of a public health organization during an unprecedented challenge. It's fascinating, isn't it? You can really see the RKI strategizing on the fly, trying to get a handle on this thing. As March 2020 unfolds, they start outlining this concept of a containment phase.
Okay, containment phase. So like trying to hold back a tidal wave.
Yeah, in essence, yes. You've got identifying and isolating cases, rigorous contact tracing, those early quarantine measures. But, and this is where it gets really tricky, the documents show this growing awareness of asymptomatic transmission.
Meaning people are spreading the virus without even realizing they have it.
Exactly.
That's like trying to catch smoke with your bare hands.
You're telling me. It makes containment exponentially harder. By mid-March, the RKI starts laying the groundwork for the protection and mitigation phases. They're acknowledging that containment alone just isn't going to cut it.
A sobering realization for sure.
Yeah.
So from trying to completely stop the spread, they're now shifting gears towards what? Slowing it down, minimizing the impact.
Precisely. And this is where the decision-making process gets really interesting. You see debates emerging about the effectiveness of different measures, concerns about the economic and social impacts of stricter restrictions. It's important to remember this was new territory for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And I imagine there were also some pretty tense discussions about resources, right?
Oh, absolutely. The documents constantly mention shortages of masks, testing supplies, even qualified personnel. It's this constant balancing act. How do you meet these urgent public health needs while minimizing the disruption to everyday life, the economy?
A dilemma faced by, well, pretty much every country in the world. Were there any, like, glimmers of hope in these documents? Any signs of innovation amidst all the chaos?
There were, actually. One that really stands out is this early discussion of a contact tracing app. Even back then, they were exploring how technology could be used to help track the virus.
Interesting. So an idea that would become pretty central to a lot of countries' pandemic responses, right?
Yeah.
Were they kind of ahead of the curve on that one?
In many ways, yes, absolutely. Even if the technology wasn't quite there yet, the foresight is pretty striking. And keep in mind, as all of this is happening, as March progresses, Germany is officially in lockdown. The RKI is working tirelessly, constantly refining its recommendations as new data becomes available.
So much information to process, so many factors to consider. What was their main focus at this point? What were they prioritizing?
It seems like they were laser focused on two things.
Okay, what are they?
Data and public trust. They were collecting and analyzing as much information as possible to try and understand the true scale of the pandemic, the effectiveness of different interventions. But at the same time, they also recognized the very real danger of misinformation and the absolute necessity of maintaining public trust.
Because if people don't trust the information they're getting, they're not going to follow the guidelines.
Exactly. These documents really underscore just how crucial clear communication is during a public health crisis. They were acutely aware of the need to be transparent, to avoid jargon, use language that everyone could understand. These weren't just scientists.
Right.
They were communicators as well.
Were there any specific instances where they had to step in and correct misinformation that was circulating?
One that stands out is their clarification about the term lethality. They actually stopped using that word in their official communications.
Lethality. Seems like a pretty straightforward term.
Right.
What was the problem with using it?
Well, they felt like it didn't accurately reflect the situation and that it could potentially create unnecessary fear. So lethality refers to the proportion of deaths among confirmed cases, right?
Right.
In those early days, they were primarily testing the most severe cases. So the lethality rate seemed much higher than it actually was. What they really wanted to emphasize was that the overall risk to the general public was much lower.
A subtle but important distinction. It highlights how even a single word can have a huge impact during a crisis like this. Did they face any other communication challenges?
One of the biggest was communicating the complexities of Germany's federal system.
Right, because each state in Germany has its own, like, degree of autonomy. How does that impact the RKI's response?
It created this really multi-layered challenge. So the RKI was responsible for providing guidance at the national level. But ultimately, each state had the authority to implement its own measures.
Okay.
So you've got 16 different states, each with its own political landscape, its own resources, its own priorities.
Did these documents give you any insight into how they navigated those challenges?
Yeah, they really highlight the effort that was placed on maintaining open lines of communication with state-level health authorities. They held regular conferences, shared data and analysis, and really tried to work collaboratively to develop these consistent guidelines.
Yeah.
That being said, the documents do also reveal some, shall we say, moments of tension.
All such as?
For example, there were some disagreements about the timing of school closures. Some states were hesitant to close schools because of the economic and social disruptions it would cause. And then there were debates about the scope and the enforcement of those lockdown measures.
It's a good reminder that even in a crisis, unity and consensus can be incredibly difficult to achieve.
Absolutely. And it really underscores the immense pressure that the RKI was under at the time, trying to navigate this constantly evolving situation with, frankly, limited information and the weight of an entire nation's health on their shoulders.
It's amazing how these documents really bring you back to that time. The uncertainty, the weight of the unknown.
Absolutely.
You can practically feel it radiating from the pages.
As we move into April 2020, that sense of uncertainty only intensifies. The lockdown measures are in full effect.
Right.
But the big question looming over everything is, what's next?
The million-dollar question.
Yeah.
What does a way out even look like at this point?
Well, the documents show the RKI shifting its focus to modeling, trying to predict the trajectory of the virus, gaming out different scenarios, assessing the potential impact of various interventions.
So they're not just reacting to the present anymore. They're trying to anticipate the future.
Exactly. They're closely watching other countries, Italy, South Korea, studying their successes, their failures, trying to glean any lessons learned, any potential strategies that could be adapted for Germany.
Like a global game of pandemic chess, with the RKI trying to stay one step ahead.
Precisely. And amidst all of this analysis, all of this forecasting, they're starting to see a glimmer of hope.
Oh.
The lockdown measures, as disruptive and challenging as they were, seem to be having the desired effect.
Meaning?
The spread of the virus is slowing down, and they're managing to prevent the healthcare system from being completely overwhelmed. But the big question remains, how do you transition out of lockdown without triggering a devastating second wave?
That's the tightrope walk, isn't it? Finding that balance between safety and freedom.
Exactly. And the documents reveal a whole range of options being considered. A gradual phase easing of restrictions. A more rapid reopening, but with strict safety protocols in place. The need for ongoing surveillance and testing. Even the potential for localized lockdowns.
Were there any clear favorites among these options? Or was it still too early to tell?
It was still very much up in the air. The documents actually reveal a healthy debate within the RKI. They were weighing the potential risks and benefits of each approach, trying to anticipate the unintended consequences, always keeping in mind the need to adapt as new information became available.
So it sounds like they were really trying to avoid tunnel vision to keep their options open.
Exactly. They understood that this was a marathon, not a sprint, and that flexibility was going to be key.
Aside from these exit strategies, were there any other noteworthy details from this period that you found particularly insightful?
One thing that really struck me was their emphasis on the mental health impact of the pandemic.
Oh.
They recognized early on that these prolonged lockdowns, the social isolation, could take a real toll on people's well-being.
Which is an aspect of these kinds of crises that's often overlooked, I think.
Absolutely. And these documents show that the RKI wasn't just focused on the physical threat of the virus, they were concerned about the holistic health of the population. And they were actively looking for ways to address the psychological and social consequences of the pandemic.
Were there any specific measures that they were considering on that front?
Well, they discussed the need for increased mental health support services, the importance of clear communication and public messaging to kind of combat that sense of loneliness and anxiety that many people were feeling, even the potential role of digital technology in connecting people and providing virtual support.
It's a good reminder that pandemics don't just affect our bodies. They affect our minds, our communities, every aspect of our lives.
Precisely. And it speaks to the RKI's commitment to a truly comprehensive approach to public health.
So as we near the end of our deep dive into the Robert Koch Institute's early pandemic response, what are your biggest takeaways? What lessons can we learn from their experience?
Well, I think there are several. First, adaptability is paramount.
Okay.
The RKI's ability to adjust their strategies based on new data and changing circumstances was really crucial to their effectiveness.
They were constantly learning, constantly evolving.
Exactly. Second, clear, transparent communication is absolutely essential.
Right.
They understood that building and maintaining public trust was vital to the success of everything else they were doing.
And that misinformation could be just as dangerous as the virus itself.
Absolutely. And finally, I think the RKI's focus on the long game is a really crucial lesson here. They weren't just reacting to the immediate crisis. They were thinking about the future, trying to anticipate challenges, trying to build a more resilient system.
So taking the long view, planning for the unknown, those are key takeaways.
Absolutely. These documents provide such a fascinating case study in how to navigate a period of just unprecedented uncertainty and disruption.
It's been a truly illuminating journey through those pivotal early months of the pandemic. Thank you so much for guiding us through these documents and for sharing your insights.
My pleasure. It's always fascinating to go back and look at history, especially recent history, and learn from the experiences of those who were on the front lines.
Indeed. And for our listeners, as you reflect on this deep dive into the Robert Koch Institute's response to the COVID-19 pandemic, consider this. What other lessons might we glean from this pivotal period in history? What insights can we carry forward as we navigate an increasingly complex and unpredictable world? Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep learning.